One extremely important reason Jesus Christ, our Lord, became human flesh was to give himself for the church, his body, the bride. Yet I think all of us certainly realize that when we come together to meet together on the Sabbath day, we may sometimes experience tensions. We may have our faith tested. We may be called upon to forgive one another. Yet in the end, when the bride is fully prepared, all of us will be joined together in one. Jesus Christ is building a place, a dwelling place. He is building a tabernacle for all eternity. He will marry his bride that he has been preparing all along, that he has been given so much to, this bride, this body of believers, to be his bride for all eternity. And brethren, there will never be a separation. There will never be any kind of divorce, any kind of separation, any kinds of problems that we can look about and see in this life. Because as we certainly know, we are now in this life learning lessons that demonstrate the differences between being one in unity and being broken apart. There are terrible pains in our brokenness. All we have to do is simply take a look at our modern society to know how painful our brokenness truly is. Broken people are in pain. And broken families beget broken people. So it continues on. And that's this society. This is this life. Brethren, God's people can only have unity in the body through Jesus Christ. We experience keeping the unity of the faith. Go with me to the book of Ephesians. And we're going to look at two or three different chapters. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, Ephesians 4 and verse 13, it says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That's what we're shooting for. That's where we're headed. This summarizes for us in one way the end result. This is what it's about. This is what Jesus Christ is leading us to. Then in chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, "And has put all things under his feet." This is speaking that God has put all things under the feet of Jesus Christ. "And gave him to be the head over all things to the church." And so we see where he is as we are experiencing the keeping the unity of the faith. It is his body. It is his church. He is the head. And then in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Drop into verse 29. This is still in Ephesians 5 and verse 29. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh." Now, the church is a spiritual organism, but it's comprised today of physical beings. And Jesus Christ does not hate us. He loves us. He's done all that he has done in one sense for the church. But go on here in verse 29, it says, "But nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church." This is describing the way Jesus Christ is toward us. He's nourishing us. He's cherishing us. He's taking care of us. He loves us. Now, all we have to do is simply look around at any of the congregations of the churches of God today, and we can see while we may be quite diverse, and we are, yet we, the church, are cohesive. That's the goal. That's what the church is to be, the body of Jesus Christ. We are a unity created by Jesus Christ. Unity is the only way we can function effectively. In Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is speaking, verse 24, Colossians 1 and verse 24, it says, "Who now rejoicing in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." Unity. Unity. It's not just Jesus Christ speaking about it. We see this. This is what Paul the Apostle is talking about. We are to be, the body of Christ is unified. The body of Christ is to be unified. The Bible also shows us other things, and it shows us that there are not to be divisions or factions or schisms or cliques or any other concepts or distractions that separate us. It's real clear. The scriptures are very plain in telling us this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." Now, I don't know how we can not be unified if we're not speaking the same thing. If we're not unified, we're not going to be speaking the same thing. But we are to be all speaking the same thing. "And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." We look at things the same. We come to the same conclusions as Jesus Christ does. Our head, our future husband, the head of the body. I'd like for us to take a look at some other things where there is unity. And just kind of putting together a list. And if I get lost in the numbers, it's okay. You can keep up with them. And when I remember to tell you the number that I'm on. Number one, there is no bond or free. Number two, there is no rich or poor. Now, this is the ideal. Obviously, this is what is being described here. Number three, there is no male or female. And of course, we can look around and say, well, yeah, there's male and female within the body. And yes, there are some who have more financially than the others. There are rich and poor within. But there is this commonness. There is this oneness. This is what we're seeing. This is what we're supposed to, because we all are comprised of the same body where Jesus is the head. There will be no denominations. There will be no separations. There will not be, well, it's us and them. And we're describing two different groups, let's say, that comprise the body of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Galatians 3, 28. And it shows the principle here. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. We all comprise and make up together the body of Jesus Christ. How can we have these differences within the body of Christ? Another concept to see is there will be no corporate entities. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 12, 23. "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable," it's not there. There are no corporate entities. That is not what comprises the body. "Upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness." So this point, this is in my numbering, is number five. There would be no corporate entities. There's where we start having these separations. We're all one body. We're all one body. So with this in mind, let me ask, what does each member of the body of Jesus Christ have in common with each and every other part of the body of Jesus Christ? Here's where we get into a lot of numbers. Number one, each part will be called, chosen, and found faithful. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. Revelation 17, 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. This is describing at the end time, but we're going to see where this fits in what I'm talking about. And the Lamb shall overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. He's going to overcome them because of who he is. And they, the bride, the church, and they that are with him are, they are called and chosen and faithful. That's the church. That's the body. That's the bride. Number two, each part has been called out of this world. And we understand that we have, because all we've got to do is take a look at ourselves and we all realize that we have all been sinners. We have all sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know that's where we came from. We know that. Number three, each part has repented. We wouldn't be here if we have not come to the place where God granted us repentance of the things that he has shown to us. That's wrong. And we changed. Yes, God changed us, but we allowed that change. We desired that change. We started making, as we tell our little ones, we have to make right choices. We have to make good choices. That's a wrong choice. And sins are wrong choices. God shows us this. He educates us. We make these changes, and that's repentance. Each part, number four, each part is individually called by God the Father. And number five, each part is taken to the Father through Jesus Christ. The Father calls each part individually, and then he gives each part individually to Jesus Christ. And then we come to the Father through Jesus Christ. We can come to that knowing and understanding. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him, and I will raise him up at the last trump or at the last days. In verse 65, John 6:65, it says, and he said, Jesus is doing the speaking, therefore said I unto you, this is why I said that unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. So we see that it's the Father who calls. And then he gives them to Jesus Christ to work with and to nourish and to cherish and to love and to protect and do all of those things that a husband does. And that's what he is doing. Number six, each part is made alive by the very life of Jesus Christ within us. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The next one, each part must continue to be alive, drawing life from the same source. Our life is drawn from the same source, and that source, of course, is Jesus Christ. The next one, every part is begotten by the same spiritual Father. We all have the same Father that are part of the body of Jesus Christ. We all have the same spiritual Father. The next one, which is point number nine, every part is partaker of the same divine nature. If we have the same spiritual Father, then we're going to have the same spiritual nature. This is what makes up the body. Number 10, each part of the body is going to have this attitude of crying out, Abba, Father. Each part of the body is going to have the same close personal relationship with God. It's not a, oh yes, that's God. Yes, and I go to church, and yes, I worship him, and yes. No, this is Father. This is Abba. This is Daddy. This is who this is. And we're to have this relationship with him. And I know that I could spend time on each one of these points. And we're kind of just building on this. This is almost like an introduction. And I think I have 31 points here. So it's not going to be exhaustive. You can see that. Number 11, each part is a purchased possession. Ephesians 1 and verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And that's us. We have been purchased unto the praise of his glory. We have been purchased now by the blood. I'm not even going into, and that we're purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We know that. I'm not even going into all of those. I'm just showing we are a purchased possession, and we have been purchased now to give glory unto God. The end result of what's going to happen is we're going to be the bride of Jesus Christ. We're going to be in the kingdom of God and the family of God for all eternity. How awesome is that to us? Number 12, each part is washed, made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Okay, well, if the unrighteous are not going to be there, who will be there? Well, obviously, the righteous. And it goes on. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. In verse 10, it goes on. It gives this list showing these people aren't going to be there. So obviously, those who are part of the body of Jesus Christ are not going to be doing those things. Just describing the different parts of what the body looks like. Number 13, each part is holy, sanctified, set apart for God's desires. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. God did this. God called those people us who are part of the body of Jesus Christ. This is what he has declared, because this is what he wants. This is for his desire. He's doing this. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, or a purchased people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Again, showing us why it's happened. Now it's happened so that we can glorify God, because he called us out of this world. He called us out of darkness and brought us into light, his light. 14, each part must bring forth fruit. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 17, Matthew 7:17. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit. And the second part of that verse is, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Those who are part of the body of Jesus Christ are going to be bringing forth good fruit. 15, every part is bringing forth the same kind of fruit as each other via or through the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. 16, each part must be growing in grace. And they will be growing in grace. 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We're going to be doing this now and forever. You ever wondered, wonder what we're going to be doing out there for all eternity? Well, here's at least one thing. We're going to be bringing glory to Jesus Christ, lifting him up for all eternity. It says now and forever. Number 17, each part is maturing. 18, each part is an individual. 19, each part is unique. We all come with different backgrounds, different likes, different dislikes, different hobbies and different goals, you know, that we've had even in the physical life. We look different. You know, some of us are taller and some are shorter and various things. You know what I'm saying? And so we're all unique in that sense. But we all still come together and make one. Number 20, each part is dependent on other parts. Each part is interconnected with one another. And each part is intertwined with one another. We have to have each other. There's this, the verse that talks about it. It says, can the foot say, well, I'm the body, or I'm more important, or can the eye say this, and you know, and hand say that? No. It takes all of us. But you just look at a body when it describes. Each part is different. Each part is unique. Well, that's us. That's us. We are unique. Yet we're still part of the same body. 21. Each of us is gifted in one or more ways. 22. Each of us is accountable for faithfulness in our assigned role and responsibilities within the body. You see, God places us in the body where it pleases Him. I mean, we've read that. We understand those verses. What is that talking about? Well, if you've been put here, then you've got this job and this responsibility. Well, we need to be doing this job and this responsibility because that's where God put us. Now, He's not going to put us, you know, as the old saying, He's not going to put us, take us a round peg and put us in a square hole. He's not going to do that. He's going to fit. He's going to place us where it fits. And He's going to shape and mold us so we will fit where He wants us to fit. And if we need some corners rounded off, guess what He's going to do? Round off some corners so we'll fit where He wants us to fit. And so we allow Him to work with us. Jesus Christ working with us to fit where He wants us to fit. We all don't have the same jobs. We don't. But that's not necessarily the individual. That's still God doing this. 23, each part has a specific place decided on by God. Each man in his own order. God did that. 24, each part of us is essential to the overall body. Let's go to Ephesians. Obviously, I've got scriptures on every one of these that I could back it up. And some of these I can give 2 and 3. And, you know, we could give lots of scriptures on some of these points. Some of them I'm just going on, not even reading the scriptures on it. But they're there. But let's go to Ephesians on this particular point. I want to see a couple of places. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21. Ephesians 2 and verse 21, it says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord." We're all fitly framed together by the master builder, to use that analogy. He puts us where we fit. And yes, sometimes a master builder has to take a board. And we could ask people, we got contractors in this congregation. And sometimes to put this board where it needs to fit, it has to be cut or pieced or whatever, you know. And that's what God does. That's His job. But He fits us in there where we fitly frame together. And the whole purpose of all of this, when all is said and done, is so that we will be built up into, as it says, the holy temple in the Lord. God's house, what God wants, what God is pleased to call, that's my home. That's my home. And that's what God is doing. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Yes, each one of us has our own part. And we have to be supplying our part. You know, one of these boards is up at the top underneath the roof is called the truss. And then the boards that are on the floor underneath, those are called the joists. I mean, you got different names for different parts, but they all have to be doing that part, whatever their part is, wherever they are. They have to be fitly formed together, that which every joint supplies. Each part has to be doing the part that it's supposed to be doing. This is what it is saying, and it's being done. In the body of Jesus Christ, it is being done. According to the effectual working and the measure of every part is being measured out, each part is being tested, each part is being worked with, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Because we're going to build out and we're going to be the temple of God. My house. This is my house. 25, each part must be a dedicated servant. 26, each part must be submitted to the head. That's Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5 verse 24, the A part, the first part. Ephesians 5, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. We are to be subject unto Christ. Well, let me rephrase this. The church is subject unto Christ. So what happens if there's someone who's not subject to Christ? They're not part of the church. They're just simply not part of the church. There's something else, but it's not the church. It's not this temple that God is building. 27, each part must be submitted to each other. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We are to submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. Now, I could give a whole sermon on the fear of the Lord here, what the fear of the Lord is, and go through all of that and say, all of these characteristics that make up this fear of the Lord, that's what we're doing one to another. We have that same kind of submission one to another. Why? Because we're the body of Jesus Christ. It's not because it's me to her and to him and he to her. And, you know, it's not that. It's to Jesus Christ. He's the head. We're the body. And so we're going to be submitting ourselves one to another in awe and respect and admiration and love and all of those kind of wonderful things toward God. Because we see where we fit in the body of Jesus Christ. 28, each part must embrace the goals of the head. What would happen, silly analogy, but what would happen if you're building this body, you're building this building where it's going to be all fitly framed together, and you got the master builder, and he says, okay, we're going to be making this two-story house, and it's going to have, 3,000 square foot, and we're going to have this kind of walls. We're going to have this. And they go, I don't think so. I want to be a ranch type house. I don't want to be a two-story house. I want to be a ranch. And we start, what do we have? We're not submitting to the head. It's a silly analogy, but I think you get the point. When we start doing our own will toward the church, that's what we're doing. We're not submitting to the head. The head is Jesus Christ. Places will say, well, the headquarters is in such and such. And I go, no, it's not. The headquarters is in heaven. The headquarters is wherever Jesus is. That's the headquarters. He is the head. He is the head. It's not over here and it's not over there. Our address here at the Church of the Sovereign God, just to show you that where we think our headquarters is we have a post office box. I don't know if I said, where's your headquarters? And I said, wherever Jesus is, that's the headquarters. 29, each part must be speaking the same thing. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, that verse doesn't say speaking the same things, but yes, it does. Because if you have a mind and you're speaking two separate things, then you need some help. So each part must be speaking the same thing. And if we have the same mind, then we're going to speak the same thing. We're going to speak the same thing. And what is it that we speak? What Jesus speaks. What he says, that's what I say. King David had that type of an attitude. Back in Psalms, whenever he says 119, verse 128, where he talks about, he says, I perceive all your precepts concerning all things to be right. David says, that's what I believe. In other words, he's saying, I want the mind of God, and this is what he will be saying, so that's what I'm saying. David's not even at this point even saying that he understood it all. It was what God is saying, what God wants, that's what he wants. That is to be our attitude. That is to be our attitude. Each part must be speaking the same thing. What is God saying on this? That's what we say. Now, I understand it. We may not 100% understand every aspect. I totally understand that. But our attitude and our heart is that what God has said on it, that's what we want. If and when we come to the place that we see we haven't been speaking exactly the right thing, then we change it. Then we change it. Because we've realized we didn't have the same mind that Jesus Christ had. And we want that mind, so we will speak the same thing. We don't want to be telling somebody yes when the real answer is no. You don't want this, and we can see this very easily. We don't want this on a husband and wife in a marriage. We don't want one to be telling the children, you can do this, and the other one says, you cannot do this. There's confusion. The child doesn't understand. Then they start trying to, well, which one is going to be more lenient to me? That's the one I'm going to go to. You know, can't do that. You know, do we have that? Of course we have that. We're human. But I don't think humans, even as husbands and wives in the same marriage, want to do it that way. They just haven't really taken the time to sit down and talked about it. What are we going to say? And we need to do that. And so this is why each part must be speaking the same thing. And that comes about because let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. 30. Each part must love the head completely without any kind of restrictions, any kind of boundaries that we've played. I'll love you, God, if you do such and such. No. We love God totally, completely because of who He is. 31. Each part must love each other and every part of the body as it loves itself. Matthew chapter 22, beginning verse 37. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Verse 28. This is the first and great commandment. This is where it starts. And verse 39. And the second great commandment is likened to the first one. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If we're part of the body of Jesus Christ, we're neighbors. Neighbor means those who are closest to you in a real loose sense. That's what it means. So those who are closest to us are who? Those who are part of the body of Christ. Those that we are with, those that we know, those that we love, those that we're praying for, those that we weep when there's reasons to weep together, and whenever there's rejoicing, those are the ones we are rejoicing with. Those are the ones. That's our, quote, neighbor in this sense. We're to love each other just like we love ourselves. Why? Because we're part of the same body. Part of the same body. 32. I said it was 31, but there's 33, actually. Each part must be seeking unity and pursuing unity earnestly. Doing whatever it is that we can do. Learning, fasting, studying, praying, counseling, whatever it is that it might take for us to grow together in unity. Well, I've got this problem with this member within the body. Okay, then let's do whatever we need to do to get to the place that we come to the place that we don't have the problem with this person who's part of the body any longer. Pursuing unity. Pursuing. Going after it. Because it's right. And 33, probably one of the biggest things that we all have to understand, and we do, but we need to state it and understand it, and that is God is not finished with any of us yet. He's still working with us. So none of us are perfect yet, but that's our desire. Because our head is perfect, we want to be just like the head. And we want to have a fit body, a perfect body for this perfect head. And we're not finished yet. He isn't finished with us yet. So, we all have to learn to live together because, after all, we are all womb mates. Now, brother, that really, you know, even breaking a sweat and making this comment here, I think is something we all should understand. I think we do understand it. Then this should make it very easy for all of us to see that we really do have a lot in common. If we're stating we're part of the body of Jesus Christ, we're part of the church of God, then these are the things that we should all be looking like. Or these are the things that we're all working on to look like. That we all are just alike. And so when we come down to that, then we see we've got a lot in common, don't we? Even though we come with a lot of diversities. You know, we have different levels of work experience. We have different jobs that we bring, you know, to the body, and so we have all these kind of different experiences and all of those kinds of things. My family would starve to death if I had to be a carpenter. You know, and maybe I can learn it, you know, and I like it, but it's not a trade. It's not something I ever worked in as a kid. But I know that there are people here who do make their living doing that and do quite well at it. That's good. That's a real good talent. It's really, you know, something. But my point is we come with different backgrounds, but we all are still part of the same body, and we have a lot of things in common. So, after all of this that we've seen so far, we do not sometimes recognize each other as the specially selected, specially designed, specially loved part that each of us are. We don't see each other as that. But we also need to understand this. The body, when it's completely finished, the body will be full and complete. It will be totally, completely finished. That's what God is doing. He's working with us to finish us, to be exactly as he wants. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. That's describing Jesus Christ. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. The end result is we're going to be complete. We're going to be perfect just like Jesus Christ, the head. It is the word of God, the word of his grace, through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit in us that will build us up, that will finish us, that will complete us. And so we have to have these parts. We have to have these tools, as it were. To call Jesus Christ a tool is, I don't mean it in this sense as any kind of put down, but I think you understand what I'm saying. We have the Bible. We have the inspired word of God. It's a tool. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus Christ in us. We have all of these things that will build us up. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Acts 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, all those that are set apart. Through the word of God, we can come to that. We can see. We have what we need, the words that we need to be able to see it, to grasp it, to understand it, and to change our lives. Now, having said all of these things, I want to show you quickly some things that don't build us up and some things that cause division, splits within the body. One thing is thinking and acting like we are better than others is divisive. Whether we're here or whether we're someplace else, that's divisive. I don't mean being here and some others being someplace else of and by itself is divisive. I'm talking about this thinking and acting like we're better than others. That's divisive. When we do not esteem others better than ourselves, we are not creating unity, but division. Another thing that causes division is not building each other up, is a kind of division. If we can serve and help one another to help them that they would be built up and we don't, it's divisive. The body helps the body. And if we're not doing that, it's divisive. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Philippians 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I'm better than you, or, you know, that kind of an attitude. It's wrong. It's divisive. It always is. It always will be. But in lowliness of mind, this is telling us where we are to be. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Another point that causes division within the body is judging one another is divisive. I'm not talking about recognizing facts. I'm not talking about those kinds of things. I'm talking about judgment. Now, I could give an entire sermon to explain the point, but my point is real simple. Judging others, one another, is divisive. Another point, sinning against one another is divisive. And another point is not forgiving one another is divisive. If your brother has aught against you, it says what to do. You go along and do this. And then I've had people come and say, well, I got this problem. How do I do this? Well, you go to the scripture, you look to it, and it says, well, over here it says, you go to them by yourself. You don't really expect me to do that. I go, no, I don't. God does. God does. If you want to be part of the body, this is how you're going to do it. Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. Luke 6:37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. So if you always dealt with every individual who's part of the body of Jesus, this is a sermon about the church today. This is not about what do you deal with your neighbor. Well, you do a lot of these same kinds of things, but I'm just dealing with the church here. How do you deal with that there's this problem? Well, you don't judge them, you don't condemn them, and you forgive them. And when you get together, when you have this attitude, this is your approach in every situation. You're not going to have a whole lot of situations. You're going to just work out the details of how it is. But what causes division within the body is judging and condemning and not forgiving. I would like for each one of us to have this heart, this thinking, this attitude of going and asking our Father to give us the eyes to see one another and the eyes and the heart to recognize our brothers, to really see them as brothers. I'd also like us to go to God and asking God as our Father to give us the grace that we need to live as the pleasing part of the body that pleases Him. What He wants us to do, what He wants us to be. And I think if we would go with that, you know, with that attitude and that heart and that mindset, that we go to God and ask Him, cause us to see what He wants us to see in one another. We're not going to see the things that we see. We're going to start seeing the things that God sees. And what we're going to see among one another is what? That we're part of the body of Jesus Christ. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? And brethren, there are some things that Jesus wants each part of the body to have. There are certain characteristics that God wants us to have that are in common one with another. There'd be a lot of ways of wording this. It could be a lot of different ways, but I've tried to, in doing this, I've tried to bring this down under some categories that could be divided out, but trying to narrow it down under some points. One is a characteristic that He wants us to have in common is integrity. Integrity. A second point is respect for self and others. Number three is honor. He wants us to have honor, and he wants us to show honor towards one another. Now, that's a sermon in itself. I can demonstrate this very simply. Write down quickly what honor means. And most of us have problems coming up with it. But it's a huge topic in the Bible. Number four, dignity in our relationships. Whether it be with one another, or whether it be with God the Father, or whether it be with Jesus Christ. If someone on the outside saw you or me with other church members, would they know that we like one another? It's a simple thing, a simple test. Would they know that we really like one another? If some people who are on the outside that truly do not know us, would they see us and know that we love God? Would they know that? I would hope so. I would hope that others would be able to see there's some real dignity here in the relationship that these people have one for another. Oh, yeah, they got different kind of backgrounds, but they really like one another. They really love one another. They really go out for one another. And they love God. Would they see that? Number five. We would have an attitude of problem-solving cooperation. Are there going to be problems? Absolutely. Why? We're flesh and blood and bone. We're human. We're going to have problems. And again, I'm not talking about those out there who are not part of the body of Christ. I'm talking about within the body of Christ. Are we going to have from time to time problems? Of course. How do we problem solve? Do we do it in a cooperative way? It's a yes or no. Something very big that I think God would want us to have. He would want us to have an attitude of working it out together. And a sixth point that I think that I see that God would want all of us to have is a common vision. A common vision. Seeing things as our Father and our older brother, Jesus Christ, see them. Like I said, yeah, I think you could tie these down and put them in different ways, but I think this works. And I think we may be from time to time to add other points to this, but I think these are pretty sound. Some common things that Jesus Christ, as the head, wants his body to be like. We all are to have things together in common with our Lord and our Savior, our older brother, Jesus Christ. That's what God wants. We are to have things in common, and we have them in common. And we reflect the Father and the Son in these points where we are together, unified in these common principles. And the Aaronic blessing today, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise, in this way you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you. God bless you.